aboard, you people. It is Starship Roka on show with Anna DeBlock. It's on for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes, it is.
That's a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Big deal.
It's a big deal.
So, Kev.
Yes, Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Kev.
Did he cheat on you? Did I hear something?
This is what I heard from yesterday. I've not had a chance to see you yet, Kev.
Yeah, uh-oh.
But yesterday you weren't here because there's a White Sox golf outing for their charities, right?
Yes,
that's a big deal. And they wanted representatives of their radio partners to be there. And it's funny because the guy who runs the whole company, Larry Wirt, sent me a picture of a golf cart that had my name on it and his name on it. And I thought, well, that's nice. Why am I not there?
Why are you not there?
Well, I don't know, because nobody told me to be there. Now, then I hear that Kevin is there.
I knew you'd hear about this. I knew you'd be very disappointed.
Now, Kevin, who did you play with yesterday?
I played with Larry. I played with... Well, I checked in and I said...
But it gets worse.
I said, Kevin Powell checking in. They said, we don't have you on file. I said, how about Ro Khan? And they said, yeah, he's on file. I go, yeah, I'm Ro Khan. And I didn't see you, Ro, so I figured I'd represent the Ro Khan name at the golf outing.
So he substituted.
So that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so basically what you did... is did you sit in the cart with Larry the whole time? Because it was the same cart. I said, he sent me a picture. He goes, what's going on here?
I was actually sitting in a different cart. Same group.
Who are you with, though? Who else was there?
I was with Mr. Cat, Dave Bennett.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all right. The Twin Towers of WGN Dave. Sports. Yeah.
Darren Jackson.
Mm-hmm. DJ.
DJ was, right. Everybody gets a... And Adam Hogue, our Bears insider.
What about our favorite friend over at WGN TV, the principal anchor, Joe Donlin? Was he there?
He didn't respond. I had invited him. I said, hey, I got this slot at this golf outing.
Yeah.
If you're free Monday, come on by. Ro's not going to be there.
I find this all very interesting. That's all. I just want to say how interesting I find this whole thing to be. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's very interesting because, when the president of the company sends you an email with a picture of your name and his name next to each other on a golf cart, like, where are you?
Well, I figured the president of the company so well by now, Ro. I was like, you know what? Maybe Ro can take the day off and I'll go golf for him in his name.
Oh, that was nice of you, Kev. See, he's doing you a favor.
Yeah, I was thinking about you the whole time. I promise, Ro.
Yeah, that's what you were doing. You're thinking about me the whole time. That's right.
Very cool of you, Kev.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that was really...
I don't think cool is the right word.
How was your golf game?
To be honest.
Played okay.
Oh, God, don't even start.
Oh, it was beautiful. It's 85 and sunny out
there. It was perfect,
wasn't
it?
Oh, come on now!
Good course.
Oh, we were very busy here.
Yeah, we were here.
Historic Beverly Country Club. President Obama's a member there. Yep. No big deal.
No big deal. Boy.
We were working our lips to the bone down here while you were out there enjoying yourself.
I was sweating a lot, though. It was very difficult to get through 18 holes.
Okay, I see. Yeah. All right.
I missed you guys, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did they have good food and beverages out there for you?
Beverly's
well?
Best.
Yeah, they fed us well. Sponsored by they had a Modelo sponsored, so there was no shortage of any sort of alcohol. Whatever you needed, they had it for you.
Yeah, Modelo is great.
It is great stuff.
Yeah. All right. So, well,
I thought of you guys the whole time.
Glad you had fun.
I noticed you didn't post anything on social media. Were you just not trying to let us know that you were really doing it?
That's like when millennials take off for a fake reason, and then
I put something on my Instagram story, but
maybe thinking that the older people wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, sort of hidden.
That's how that goes.
Right.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. That's a little. That's a pro tip to all the parents of teenagers out there. Make sure that you're checking. Instagram now the parents are hip to.
You can't just follow them. You gotta also check out the stories, and those go away in 24 hours.
Nice.
So you can't ever use any of the evidence there.
Do we follow your Finstagram, your fake one? Is that what's going on, or do we follow your real one, Kevin?
I've got a real one. I don't do the whole private public one now.
Mm.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
What you see is what you get.
All right. That's what I'm afraid of. All right. Well, I'm glad you represented this show.
Yeah, the whole show.
While the show was on the air, I thought
amazing.
Andy did. Didn't you think Andy did a great job yesterday?
Awesome.
He always delivers.
Yeah. I thought Andy Bazer's right. He's one of the great professionals in our business.
He really is. But that was an amazing act of self-sacrifice that you made
what you did,
for
Kev.
This team, Kev. Right.
I gave up a whole other shift to go play golf with the boss of the company.
I can tell you one thing. Andy Mazur would never golf in my place. No, he'd call me, go, oh, Mr. Khan. I'll ask the entire outing to wait for you to get here. There has been apparently a terrible mistake.
I couldn't possibly sit
Mr.
in this
Wirt,
cart.
Please sit in this cart and wait for Mr. Khan. I will. I do magic tricks. Let me entertain you while you are waiting. Could I get you something to drink?
That's okay.
All right.
Maybe next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah. That's all good. That worked out all right. All right. Let's. Okay, so coming up on the program, the important stuff coming up on the program, I think we go from this to Mike Rogers is going to join us. He used to run the, he was the head of the House Intelligence Committee, former FBI agent, and now he's a writer, political commentator, a thinker of great thoughts, and I think one day he's going to run for some kind of big office, but we'll see.
Yeah.
On the, we'll get a little bit of an insight into what he thinks about this Paul Manafort trial that is going on right now. The opening, they had the opening arguments. Opening statements, I guess, what you say. Closing argument, opening statement. And the opening statement, the federal government basically said that this is a gigantic plot by Paul Manafort to avoid taxation.
Right.
And it was really complicated. He was living a very lavish lifestyle, beautiful multi-million dollar homes all over the world. And he was doing it by trying to offshore all of his money.
Right. He hid it in foreign accounts, his money from primarily some work in the Ukraine that he did.
Yes. His company made close to $300 million from the Ukrainian government. Just think about that. What was he doing for the $300 million for Ukraine? And then how does he end up being the CEO of the Trump campaign? Now, that's not a criminal thing. It's not a criminal thing, but it's just something to stop and think about for a second.
Sure.
Just a thing to think about. Now, I know a lot of these Washington guys that work for foreign governments. I get it. Law firms do all this kind of stuff. But so rarely do you see a situation like this, where there is just so much smoke,
Part of the opening arguments, Paul Manafort, prosecutors say, owned a $15,000 jacket made from an ostrich.
Mm-hmm. So he, the ostrich was still alive. Why it was so expensive. The ostrich was actually trained to loan itself as a jacket. That's how that worked.
Living the life.
Anyway, so there. That's and the Manafort people said, it wasn't us. The oligarchs told us we had to do it like this. The oligarchs told us we should do it like this. That's their defense, that the criminal Russian oligarchs are telling them how they should structure their economics. Oh,
okay.
I'm sure the jury is going to go with that. I cannot possibly imagine that being a problem.
Selected this jury rapid. They've figured it out quickly, right? They've seated them. So
right. They after
all
the
ready to go
after the. After the opening statement, they asked the judge if they could just, can we just decide now? He's only looking at 300 years in prison, so it should be fine.
Crazy.
Yeah. You know, they were saying if it doesn't go on the first day, he might plead out.
First day.
Well,
I don't know if it is.
Yeah. I think the government's going to go get their conviction. All right. Ben Bradley's going to join us from the WGN-TV newsroom in just a second here. But first, let us now check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom to find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, a new NASA mission has a Chicago connection. That story coming up at 3:30 from the WGN radio newsroom.
All right. Here's Violetta.
100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience, all starting this August. Okay, that's tomorrow. This August. August 1st.
Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom. That's a big deal.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Ben,
all right.
Wait, can we ask Ben if he was playing golf yesterday with all the... privileged members of the teams here?
No, I was anchoring the 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, and 3 p.m. newscast.
Was Joe Donlin out playing golf?
No, Joe had a family thing he needed to attend to, but you and I will both be relieved when I tell you that he is back today.
We always get that from Joe. He's got a thing.
He's always got something. You know, they reach out all the time. It's Kevin Rowe.
That's
and
really
he's
true.
Busy. He's and busy.
Kev, that's a good point. Yeah. Well,
got a thing.
Well, it's good to know that he always has a thing for work. That's good. That's nice. That's good. That makes it. That makes it feel better.
I wouldn't answer any of their questions. It's like when you're asking, like, the best friend, "Hey, where'd you guys go after?"
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
don't ask
no
about.
No one told you about the party?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
He's still our best friend.
Yeah.
Right. He loves you guys.
All right, let's talk about the at least two of us were working here, Ben.
Yep.
Let's talk about this. I just heard an interview with the guy who is publishing the 3D gun.
Cody
blueprint.
Wilson is his name.
Cody
yes.
Wilson, and he is a self-righteous little pecker.
Well, I can't vouch to that, but I can tell you.
That's all I'd like to say about him.
Yes. He had a semi-starring role in a WGN Investigates report back in February when we first started talking about ghost guns and showed you how more traditional guns, you know, metal guns that are 80% complete, can be bought on the web, shipped to your home for you to, with a couple of hours' work, complete yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Wilson's organization is one of those that was out on the web promoting and selling these ghost guns. Now, that type of ghost gun is different from what we're talking about this week with these 3D printed guns.
I want to go back to the point. He's making the point. He's releasing these blueprints for the 3D guns.
Mm-hmm.
He's already put them out, he said. It doesn't matter, even though at midnight tonight.
Already 1,000 downloads from what we hear.
Right. He's putting it out. He's wrapping himself in the First Amendment. I happen to wrap myself in the First Amendment quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's delicious. But he's saying that, you know, more information is better in this situation. Well, I suppose that's true, except when it comes to the issue of public safety. The Supreme Court has actually ruled on the issue of screaming fire in a public movie theater. That's not mm-hmm. freedom of speech. Releasing blueprints or trying to avoid the laws by the laws of the land by these ghost guns. That doesn't seem to be the right thing to me. And he's like, well, this is all about the First Amendment. And then they said, well, how do you see the future? And he goes, well, if there's more control, I see that as very unromantic. That was his exact quote. I see it as unromantic. Really? Yeah, what I see is mayhem. First of all, these 3D guns, you have to make them on a 3D printer. If you're making them on a $300 3D printer, first of all, you got to get a bullet for it. That's a separate issue. They're single shot guns. And they're going to blow up in your hand.
They could. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an untested technology. And from what I understand, you need a little bit more than a $300 printer. You know, it's got to be more industrial strength. But you're right. As technology is changing so rapidly, pretty soon it could come down to, you know, a home version of a 3D printer. And the issue for law enforcement, besides the fact that if a gun is almost entirely plastic, save for that, you know, metal firing pin, metal detectors aren't going to work to weed it out. But also, and this is the issue with ghost guns on a larger scale, be they metal or these 3D printed plastic, you can't trace them.
Right. No serial numbers on them.
And no background checks to get them, as we reported in February. We just went online, gave them our credit card, and a gun, 80% completed, arrived at our door.
So how appealing would that be for a felon or a terrorist or someone who just wanted to do something really, really bad, right? That just seems that it's so available.
Well, the argument on the other side, when we talked to the Illinois Rifle Association about this a couple of months ago, is they say, look, you know, to manufacture a gun yourself takes not only expertise but also time, and there are just so many guns widely available on the streets that they doubt many in the, you know, as we think of, you know, the Chicago street gang criminal element are going to be sitting around printing up guns. But as it gets easier and easier, that's a huge concern. And how many of these are going to flood onto the streets as the technology becomes a lot more manageable?
I find that very unromantic. Is how I feel about it. Very unromantic.
Yeah. All fun and games, so one of them blows up in your hands.
Right. Well, this is not exactly what I would be doing. But the thing is that, you know, if kids are going to do it, they can bring it to school. I mean, it creates a lot of other issues here. And I don't know.
Well, we talked with local representative of the Moms Demand Action Group, which is an anti-gun group, and she made an interesting point here. She said, hey, these plastic guns look like toy guns, so they're going to be even more of interest to young kids, you know, if they're laying around the house, if they're, you know, what's to differentiate between that and a Nerf gun just by
right.
their early looks?
That's right, true. And that's really true. And then will police react differently to that?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And they bring it to school, the whole thing. I mean, it's a mess. And by the way, before you call me a weenie whiny wussy.
That was yesterday. We've turned a new loop, new page today.
The president of the United States, who those who would call me a weenie whiny wussy would really love him.
Mm-hmm.
He agrees with me, And he's agreeing with me. I'm not agreeing with
him. Well, he says it doesn't seem to make much sense.
Right. I agree with him on that.
He's also checked in with the NRA about it. So we're going to have a report on that at 4. Then
I don't think the NRA is going to like this as much because this is not legitimate gun manufacturers.
Yeah, they're not getting quite the same take on it that they would. So then at 5 and 6, our Tanya Francisco is kind of looking at the technology that allows the manufacture of these types of guns and other things like it. So we'll have those stories. Also, our Patrick Elwood is just getting some new information. Remember that reported sexual assault in the porta potty at the Foo Fighters concert at Wrigley Field on Sunday? According to Mr. Elwood, he's got some new information from law enforcement sources that says there might have been a longer interaction between the woman who says she was a victim and the suspect, and that's going to cause them to re-interview her.
Meaning might have been consensual part of it, or is that what you're suggesting?
Meaning there was information from the early reports that didn't jive with what's seen on video.
Oh, I see. Because I know his picture is out. They're trying to find the man who they believe is somehow connected to or wanted for questioning.
Right. They released that picture late this morning, and it's a pretty good picture.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You would think I'd be able to nail him down. It's on all of our websites right now. But yeah, you know, that's one of the things that surveillance is able to do. You know, she initially described the encounter as it was reported to us via police that, you know, she got groped in line, and then she went over to use the washroom, and there was, as she reported it, you know, he immediately followed and assaulted her inside of that portable restroom. You know, if there was a longer interaction between them, that certainly doesn't mitigate what she says, but police want to have the full picture.
May change the context, though.
Yeah, so police want to change the
full picture.
They want to know the full picture on that.
Right.
So Patrick Elwood's going to have much more on that story coming up this evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Right now, Kim Gordon standing by in the WGN Radio Newsroom, being brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Right now, I want you to keep listening, because after 4:30, I got a chance for you to rip yourself or a family four-pack of tickets to see the Chicago White Sox take on the New York Yankees. Murderers Row, Monday, August 6th at 7:10 p.m. WGN.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Groupie DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, I think it's tomorrow. Actually, we're gonna have a creepy DJ moment. Actually, if I'm
I've
been told
DJ.
Cheesy DJ. I'm sorry, cheesy DJ. Yeah. He's creepy to me because I can't get him out of my head.
He is creepy on occasion. I agree
he's very
with
talented.
Hits
the post every time.
Only misses it 1 out of 10 times.
Doesn't always get the temperature right. We found.
It doesn't matter. That's
facts don't matter.
Yeah, facts. Right. It's radio.
Hits the post.
Yeah.
Well, you have to say whichever number comes out faster if you're right up to the post.
Right. I think that's why he rushed the call letters there, because he realized he was up on top of the post there. So I'm just thinking.
He's
know,
a professional.
Yeah, I'm just kind of speculating, as basically the news does about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I do it as well.
Well, he nailed it.
All right, so that's after 4:30 this afternoon. I don't think you want to miss that.
No.
It's going to be very, very, very exciting.
Stay close.
Yeah, the Paul Manafort trial is going on. There's a lot going on in Washington.
It certainly is.
Yeah, and a lot, I don't know, I just, you know me, I'm afraid of it all.
Well, the Facebook revelation today, too, was interesting that Facebook announced that they had all these coordinated campaigns that they've unearthed. And some of these fake accounts had hundreds of thousands of followers that they were able to get real people in America to follow their divisiveness, basically. I guess they haven't officially linked anything back to Russia because whoever formed these accounts took in tremendous steps to try to cover their tracks. But unbelievable what they're able to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much is as important an item as we can imagine here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all these things that are going on. We can get caught in the politics of it, but let's not forget that we have been attacked by the Russians in terms of our we knowingly and in a very public way attacked, and they tried to get into our literally into our heads by getting onto our computer screens. And that's something, and I know there's a lot of, I just saw a guy last night on CNN, Mike Rogers joins us right now.
Mm-hmm.
He now works at CNN. He used to be the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, former FBI, top dog, one of the top dogs, not the top dog, but a top dog over at the FBI. And I would say that there's some argument here. I did see this Princeton professor last night. It was like, well, attacking. What do you ask to go to war over this? I mean, this attacking is attacking. We attack them. They attack us. We've been doing this since 1918. It's not that big of a deal. Would you agree with that?
Not even close. I wouldn't agree with that. So some moral equivalent to what is government to government spying and espionage to prevent conflict, by the way. Governments have for literally since George Washington against the British used intelligence to inform battlefield decisions and other things. That is very, very different than intervening in not only just in our elections in the sense that they were trying to flip votes. I don't believe they did that, but that was an effort.
I guess
trying to pit Americans against Americans, that's what they were doing.
Yes, that's true.
That's very, very different.
That's true. And you know what? Everybody says, well, I don't think that they flipped votes because there's no way to actually prove that, right? I mean,
I respect that
notion. However, they clearly wanted to, and it certainly did up the temperature. It did draw people to the polls. Mm-hmm. It may have drawn, you know, people on both sides of the polls, but, you know, changing a specific, but it's clear that there was an impact here, right? It was clear that they were, that there was a way of polishing the apple of Donald Trump to make it look a lot shinier, and that's what the Russians were trying to do.
Well, here's my theory on this whole thing. So they came after Hillary Clinton. Remember, the Russians' polling wasn't any better than U.S. polling at the time. They didn't have some secret poll that said Donald Trump was going to win.
Right.
And if they pushed these four issues, by gosh, he would win. They thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Matter of fact, in some of those early release emails, they thought that Donald Trump had a 25% chance of winning, right? Not very good. And so what they were trying to do, and this is why Democrats and Republicans should be upset by this, and we should try to keep it out of the, you know, Republicans love it, Democrats hate it, vice versa. They wanted to damage Hillary Clinton because they believed she would be our next president. And so they set out to do that. That was their original intent. Let's see how much we can damage this presidential candidate so when they become president, America is a little bit weaker, the presidency is weaker, and by the way, Republicans and Democrats will fight, you know, beyond recognition for years to come. That'll be great for us, to say the Russians. And, you know, at some point, I think they decided, you know what, let's try to be promoting of the other team because it serves our interests for this time. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what they went to do. And so, you know, when Democrats say, oh, we lost the election because of them, not true. I don't believe that at all. And when Republicans say, nothing to see here, move along, not true. Don't believe that at all. And the problem is, can we separate this supercharged hyper-partisanship and look at the fact that a foreign nation state used cyber, which can touch you in your laptop, on your device, in your pocket, to try to get you to hate another American and, oh, by the way, hate the other party, whatever party you are. And candidly, they were darn successful at getting us at each other's throats.
Yeah. How about it? So true. You know, you think about the divisiveness that they're able to stir up, and it wasn't just these few accounts. I think it's also meaningful the great lengths they went to mask who was operating these pages that were very successful on Facebook for getting Americans, real Americans, to follow them, potentially go to events that they were pushing out. Some of them were fake events.
Right.
You know, it's incredible what they were able to achieve, these few accounts even.
Oh no, it's impressive. Now again, you know, some of the money they spent on ads didn't happen till after the election. That part wasn't very well done. But what we know is, you know, they were trying to get Christians against Muslim groups. They were trying to pit those two groups against each other, and that went to some success. They were pitching white supremacist groups against black activist groups to some success. They believe that chaos is good for the Russians. And by the way, they have been doing that since the 60s. We've watched them do this to America over the 60s. Mm-hmm. And guess what they're telling the rest of the world? American democracy doesn't work. Look at it. It's dysfunctional. They can't even agree to turn the lights on. I mean, this all fits this broader information warfare campaign that they're targeting against American institutions, American democracy, and candidly, people who just show up and vote. And that's why we need to be concerned about this, and that's why we need to put some effort on it. And no, you shouldn't say my candidate lost because of the Russians or my candidate won because of the Russians. I don't believe either one of those are true.
Well, I think it's an excellent point for the president, too, which is, you know, if I would like you to get his ear. I'd like you to sit down in the Oval Office with him for at least 1 hour and have him and maybe gag him so he can just you could just talk to him and he has to listen, which is this isn't you. He has to take this out of the sphere of being personally offended by the notion that people think that Russian interference equals illegitimate presidency, which I think is his personal pet peeve. And that is not really the issue here. He has to fight against this moving forward. Now, it's interesting, within the week, he said, hey, you know, the Russians are going to do this, but they're going to work for the Democrats this time. Which, you know, it's so childish. It's like a half understanding. It's what he does on Twitter all the time, which is all of the stuff lacks context and or takes things completely out of their context and is used purely for high octane political purposes, just to rally his most fervent base people who then go out and repeat it over and over and over again. He's just trying to seed the field.
Yeah, and you know, this is the sad part. I mean, I think the president's doing some really powerful good things for the economy, for other things, deregulation on some of the tax relief and reform, really good stuff. You know, taking on the Chinese in trade. I'm not sure I would have done the rest of the world. But he's got this kind of Pee Wee Herman, I know you are, but what am I, kind of approach to so many issues, this being one of them. And it's because of that dumb Twitter machine that he just can't take out of his hands. And it just drives me crazy that he would do that. And it debases the presidency of the United States in my mind. And I don't, at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to prove very effective. I think he's wearing Americans out on that piece of it.
Yeah, there could be Trump fatigue. I mean, we all remember Clinton fatigue, right? And were you in government at that point in the late 90s? Because when did you?
I got elected in 2000 to the United States Congress.
So,
and, you know, and listen, I watched it happen in both Bush and Obama. There's fatigue of each party of their own president by the time it's done.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting process to watch. Somebody's going to write a book on that, I'm sure. But it is interesting to watch. But by the end, their own party's like, God, I wish this guy would leave, for God's sake. How can we get someone else in here?
So let's talk about this, about the issue of this upcoming election. How concerned are you? I mean, I'm sure you're talking to people and you know, watching this yourself and reading the stuff that's publicly available about it. How concerned are you that the Russians are not only active, but maybe they've upped their game? Maybe they're better at it now.
Oh, I absolutely do. You know, they didn't really start coming to the United States with this whole kind of concept till about 2014 or so, near as we can determine. And before that, they were going through the let's learn about this and work it in former Eastern Bloc countries, places where people spoke Russian, where they thought that they could have an impact. And they got better and better and better. Matter of fact, I don't know if you remember that they did this when the German NATO troops showed up in Lithuania as part of the NATO rotation. Remember, we were pushing back against the Russians amassing troops in the Baltics, and so we had bigger troop rotations of NATO countries. Well, if you have the German troops in Lithuania, you can imagine the hot buttons that they wanted to push. And what they did is they pushed out a story that German soldiers raped a 14-year-old Russian ethnic girl in Lithuania. And they were trying to get people spun up about hating on German soldiers in Lithuania. And you can imagine all the history that gets pulled in, right?
Sure.
And so it was quite impactful, and it startled everybody. Well, they've gotten better at it and better at it. So at about 2014, they decided, hey, guess what? We can take this to America. They will be better in 2018, and they will be even better in 2020. And that's why we've got to get our handle on this.
You hear the Washington Post with the scoop that North Korea is still working on new missiles, ICBMs, and that revelation after the Wall Street Journal found something similar. The Trump administration is saying, hey, you know what, things don't change overnight. You can't expect that. But is it troubling to you to hear that type of news, or expected?
Well, it's expected for me. What's troubling is them saying, well, you kind of expect this. No, that's not what you told us, Mr. President. More importantly, that's not what you communicated back to Kim Jong-un. For those of us who were concerned about going without an agenda, this is exactly why. Because what happens is he, if you recall, the president came back and said, nothing to see here, he's going to denuke, right? We got that agreement. The world's great and safe. Wonderful. The problem was, at the same time, the North Koreans were saying, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. That's not where we came from. And while we've been doing this kind of backroom negotiations, which is all good, you know, I'm glad they're doing it, the problem is without that agenda to get that high-level meeting with Kim Jong-un, now he feels free to kind of push us on other issues, because this is exactly what his father did, it's exactly what his grandfather did, and it's exactly the way he has behaved prior to Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un himself. And so anyone that walked away from that who has any understanding of the intricacies of North Korean diplomacy understands that this was going to happen. And so that part was a little frustrating to me, because the president just didn't listen to anybody around him who said, you know, we've kind of seen this movie before, here's what you got to look out for. Boy, the president walked right in and said, nah, I don't need all that. I can handle this myself. And here we are. Now you've got him actually assembling missiles, of which we were so concerned about, while he's running around on a national stage, gaining credibility back home, and all the things you don't want to have happen for a guy you're trying to isolate from the rest of the world.
Mike Rogers, before we let you go, the Paul Manafort trial starts today, has started already. The opening statements have been made. The FBI and the government is laying out what they say is a very complicated scheme by Paul Manafort and some of his Russian and Ukrainian cohorts to hide money, to avoid U.S. taxes, to avoid the sense that he was working for them. And do you think that this ultimately will touch the presidency?
You know, I think this is an important case for a couple of reasons. A, in the Bureau, we would call this a paper case. So lots of paper to show where the crimes were committed. You went cash in, you spent cash on lavishly in these places. Here's your credit cards, here's your bank statements. Oh, by the way, you never paid taxes on it. You never registered as a foreign agent. This is really a paper case in this regard. I think what it does is sets up the notion about how close Manafort was to the Russians, even though he's doing work in the Ukraine, and these Russians weren't good people. That, I think, is where they're starting to move along where the president is. And I think this is the first, I'm going to go on a limb here, unless there's some really big revelation in the case. I think they're going to get a conviction at least on one or two charges. And that'll be their first big get that'll allow them to pursue other things that are closer to the president. That would be my guess.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Mike.
I know you're really
guys.
Busy.
It's always
today.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks. Mike Rogers, formerly the chairman of the House Intel Committee, formerly of the FBI. You see him on the TV all the time talking about these kinds of things. Big, big deal.
Very much so.
All right. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Rogue Governor Rauner signing a new law that allows more people to administer EpiPens in an emergency.
Here is Violetta. Stay close. At the 4:30, your chance to win a 5-4 pack of tickets to see the White Sox take on the Yankees.
All right.
Monday, August 6th at 7 p.m. Yeah.
In Cheesy Radio DJ School, do you have to practice those little sounds you make, like, that stuff? Do you learn how to make that?
That's a lot of Jack Daniels and actually eating cigarettes for dinner.
Yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck. I shouldn't ask questions.
Don't ever ask questions. Because that's right.
I'm done.
Well, in fact, cigarettes are very, very expensive. And so if you're going to have cigarettes and you're going to have eating, you can't really have eating and you can't have cigarettes, you know, you got to have one or the other. So I just took to eating the cigarettes. That's what I did. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It made me feel pretty good. Not quite as good, though, as Huey Lewis. It's 79 degrees at O'Hare. Okay.
He really held that O'Hare.
Yeah, well, he had to hold it. I mean, he didn't know. He wasn't quite sure.
Right.
Also, he doesn't know what it's saying. It's no matter what, even in the winter, for Cheesy DJ, it's going to be 79 at O'Hare. Because he doesn't have the temperatures in front of him. You often hear that happen with Judy, where she doesn't have the temperatures in front of her.
Yeah.
And she just stops, you know, and goes, well, we'll get to the temperatures later.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
Poor Judy. Hey, I can identify with that.
Speaking, I have a thing for you, Tom.
Yeah.
Very interesting, Tom.
Speaking of temperatures at airports.
Yes.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Nick DiGiulio. The very great and famed overnight man here at WGN.
Yep.
I would say that that overnight job at WGN is probably one of the most prestigious in the industry.
I would say so.
Don't you think? You're right.
You know, I mean, all the there were so many greats who've been associated with that, with
Absolutely.
Eddie Schwartz or Stephen Johnny, and now Nick DiGiulio. You know, I mean, you talk to the nation. You talk to a lonely, awake, over caffeinated nation at you know, in the middle of the night.
The signal, how far it reaches at that time, it's amazing.
I know.
So Dan Shagrew, who's Nick's producer, let us know this.
A little tidbit about you, Tom.
Uh-huh. Nick mentioned that when he was a kid, he used to call radio stations to win prizes and talk to DJs that he thought were cool. Mm-hmm. Now, Nick never calls Cheesy DJ here. I don't know why he doesn't do that to talk to him.
That's very wise.
Is surprising, yes.
But then Eddie Volkman called.
Eddie and Jobo.
And said that a young Tom Skilling would call his dad, Harry Volkman, to give him the temperatures in Aurora, and that Tom ended up getting in trouble with his mom because it was a long-distance call from Aurora.
That's right.
You were making long-distance calls?
There was an edict at the Skilling household, you know. And it's not that anybody ever said it to me. But you just kind of knew that you weren't supposed to run up along, you know, a long distance tab. And so I would sneak in and call Harry every now and then. And, you know,
it was so cute.
I tell you.
So you kind of worshipped Harry then?
Oh, yeah. I remember visiting Harry with my folks at the Merchandise Mart. This is back in the days of John Palmer and Len O'Connor when he was...
Channel 5.
Yeah, Channel 5. And so it was a lot of fun to go down there.
So spectacular down there.
It
was the way that television... you imagine television to be.
It's true. You know, Harry left a stack of ratings books back in the office when I first came to work here, and they dated back into the early 60s. And to say that Channel 5 dominated the evening newscast scene around here was amazing. Yeah. I think they had with Floyd Cowper and Harry and Len O'Connor and Johnny Earp and folks like that, I think they had like 68% of the audience, and everybody else split up the difference.
How about that?
It was. Can you imagine that in this in this day and age in a 1,000 channel universe?
No, I can imagine it. I just can't imagine it.
Well, and then it meant something too, because you thought about the numbers of people who were primarily getting your news from the TV news
the newspaper. Question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the sales guys were just drunk answering their phone.
Yeah.
Going, yes, I'll take the order for you.
Yeah, remember? Right.
Yeah.
Didn't have to call anybody. They called you.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
That's true. But how old were you when you were calling Harry Volkman and asking him questions?
How old was I? It had to be pretty young. Early teens, something like that.
Yeah. Old enough to use the phone, young enough to not know better.
I think that's so sweet.
Right. Yeah. And we you know, you used the old dial phone back in those days. But it was something. Oh, and, you know, Harry had those
questions. 312, you had to call a 312 number.
Yeah.
And you were out in the, what was it, 815, right?
Yeah.
So you were in the 815, so you had to like...
No, I think, what were we out there? I don't even remember
815.
Anymore. Was it 815?
Everything outside of Illinois was 815 for a long time. In northern Illinois, outside of the outside
think,
of 312.
I don't know why, Ro. I think we were 312 out there, but maybe I'm wrong. They've introduced so many different area codes since then.
Sure.
But... Well, go ahead.
True story about me. We used to, when I was in grade school, we used to kind of crank call Brant Miller. So my friend Katie Goodman, one of my best friends, had such a crush on him, and she always wanted to call him. And I've told him this story, but you would call and be like, "Hi, it's us again. Hi," and like I think that would be so annoying. But
Brant Miller, when he was on the radio,
yes,
and NLS,
yes.
Oh my God!
We used to call. We have a slumber party, and we're like, "Let's call Brant Miller. Let's call Brant Miller." And my friend Katie just loved him, and so we would give Brant a call, and they'd be like, "Oh gosh, you again." He was always gracious, and I gave him credit for that because I'm sure it was super annoying. We were like 11 years old. And we'd call him, but it was because we loved him.
Well, you know what, Anna? I would imagine that was probably, kind of complimentary.
He kind of laughed, and he said he remembered it, but I don't know if he did. But maybe it was. I'm sure it was super annoying, but we did do it because we were just fans of him, but that's what you do. And you were a fan of Harry's, and I'm sure he was gracious to you.
Oh, Harry was marvelous. He was always, and he was, in the years that followed, too. Harry was a riot. You know, one night, there's a story. John Drury led into him with a assault negotiation, treaty negotiation with the Soviet Union. So Harry launches into the weather coming out of this story and the toss to him. He gets a minute into the weather show and he just stops and he looks at the camera and says, about that assault negotiation story, you know what I'd do? I'd load up a B-52 full of nuclear weapons and I'd blow them off the face of the earth. And this is... Jim Dish, who was our assistant news director later, but was a producer, and he was in the control room. It was like one of those moments in the movie Network when Howard Beale...
Did I just hear
what he said? You know,
because they're all talking to each other in the control room, and they're not really listening to what's going on.
I know.
There's only one guy in the control room who's listening, and it's the audio guy.
Are you hearing this?
They're right. And sometimes he's not even listening.
Right. And the phones here went off the hooks. And the amazing thing was, because everybody was called on to answer the phones when something like this happened. And the funny thing about that was 98% of the people calling said, tell Harry he's doing a great job and keep up the
totally
good
right.
work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really something.
That's really true.
Yeah. I love that.
I know.
It's a funny thing. I want to go back to that NBC thing. This is something it is... the Museum of Broadcasting here has replicated the Saturday Night Live thing.
Sure.
If incredible exhibit.
Replicate what Channel 5 looked like when it was at the Merchandise Mart in its heyday.
Yeah.
You'd go up and it looked like the NBC headquarters because it was patterned after it.
Oh, sure.
It was with this gold leaf and that was before it was television. It was WNBQ TV when it was the first TV station.
Yeah.
But it was the key to that thing was it was the hub for one of the NBC radio networks. So it was all NBC radio studios, all those big sound stages that were at the top of the Merchandise Mart for as far as the eye could see.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all designed for Amos and Andy. And for Bob Hope, and for all these other radio shows that were emanating from there.
Fascinating.
And they did it all there. And there was the guys still into the 80s that worked at the Merchandise Mart that ran the freight elevators that would run the freight up to the showrooms on the first 17 floors or 18 floors, but then when you got up to the NBC floors, which was the first iteration of the tower, and as you look at that building, that's where they would have a special elevator that would run that would take Bob Hope when he was in town, or Amos and Andy, or any of the stars up there, so they could get him up and in without anybody seeing them.
How great is
that? I mean, it was like, and it was just a magnificent space.
It was.
And they had things that they had this big control room with a catwalk and a map of the United States with all the red and the blue networks from NBC, like train tracks going to all the other stations that would then send that to the other stations. It was just amazing, an amazing piece of history. And I always wanted that control room to be replicated somewhere just to see essentially what 100 years ago it looked like.
You know, Ro, the first place I saw color television, I grew up in my younger years out in New Jersey, and we went into Rockefeller Center to the NBC headquarters there, and we went and saw Sherry Lewis's studio and so forth. And they had color TV monitors. And remember, the NBC stations were among the leaders in introducing color TV. Remember the logo they'd have with the peacock?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why they had the peacock.
Yeah, yeah.
To show that they were in color.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you think of the introduction. Most of us had black and white TVs. We had never seen color TV. It was so magical to think that we'd be able to sit in our living rooms and watch something in color.
Well, they also own the RCA company, which made the color TVs. So they were trying to get you to buy RCA owned NBC, and they're like, hey, you need to buy the new RCA color TV.
Absolutely.
Bing, bing, bing.
And then all of a sudden there was a peacock.
That's right. And remember, those early TV sets had tubes in them, and every now and then one would go out. And
things didn't really work quite as well.
No.
It's amazing. You know, you'd have a TV, and if your TV lasted 3 years, you felt like you were super lucky.
It's true.
Yeah.
And they generated all kinds of heat, and, you know, it was amazing. And then the color in the studios, they had these big TK-44 cameras, which were monsters, and they had to floodlight the sets and all to get color, you know, to come across properly. So the light was blinding in these studios. Today we have this soft lighting and all that's easy to work with, but you stood out in front of those lights, you couldn't see anything through them.
It was fun, though.
I know.
It was supposed like the sun. I mean, to me,
it's like, how were you not sweating on the air?
Oh, you were.
God, it was so hot.
Yeah.
It was so odd. When I was in the last days of that, when I was at Channel 2, in the newsroom, they had to light up the whole newsroom.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
It was like, to me, and the newsroom was in the middle of a cave, in the middle of a building, and an old, it was a horse barn turned into an ice skating rink, turned into the head of CBS. And not like the NBC beauty of it, but when you'd light those lights up, it was just, it's like you were on the surface of the sun.
Oh, yeah.
But it was great for seasonal affective disorder. That's where I learned.
I liked it.
That's a good point.
Oh, my God, it was the best.
That, you know?
It was the best. I wanted to, after 6:30, they would turn the lights off.
And
then have to wait until 10 o'clock for them to put them back on.
Right.
And I would always want to be out on a stride. I never wanted to be in there when it was just sodium vapor lights in the top of it, you know, like industrial lights. You know, but when those stage lights went back on, man.
You know, Anna,
God, it was the best.
This may be why he has sand in his later years.
Yeah, it could have been more of a causal impact rather, you know.
Exactly.
Right? And now you have one of those happy lamps.
Yeah.
That's why you need it.
Yeah. I know. Well, they have this technology here now for us in the new studios that are these digital lights that give us all kinds of different effects for CLTV. We still haven't figured out how to make it look good, but we're working on it. And we've got this. When it's darker outside in the winter, it's going to be more interesting.
Well, I don't know that downlighting ever looks great. When it comes, shoots right down on you. Isn't that part of the issue?
Mine looks great.
Well, all TV was like that forever, right?
You get a little bit from the sides or something. I don't know.
Remember when they would air news packages on newscasts, they had like four film chains, and one would have the magstripe film that had the sound on it, the other one would just be B-roll, you know, that illustrated the story that was being talked about. And the directors in those days had to roll four different film chains to put a news package together, and the sound bites from your interviewee were on yet another film chain,
and
it was all coordinated.
There were 600 people working these news shows.
I know.
Now there's three.
Think about that.
Right.
I mean, the cameras have no one behind them. It's strange.
Then you had film labs in the station. Many TV stations would smell like the chemicals that were used to develop the film and all.
And people running around with film canisters.
I know.
I only remember this from my childhood because I knew a family that I grew up with. My neighbors were in the television business.
Yeah.
And I got to go down to Channel 2 and watch stuff happen.
Uh-huh.
And I remember
as
a kid watching people running around screaming in the hallways with film canisters.
Kind of like Holly Hunter style, right?
Exactly.
Just from broadcast news.
Exactly.
Remember? You have to make the evening news. So she'd run with her.
You know, that's interesting. And, Ro, you having grown up in Streeterville, you were near a television station.
Yeah.
How many young people could do that?
That's
true.
It was very unique. I mean, Lee Phillip, the great Lee Phillip, who just turned 90, by the way. She was, her son and I were close friends. And so it was one of those things where sometimes, you know, like that was daycare sometimes. we're off of school or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And she'd take us to work and we would just go sit there.
How cool is that?
You know, while she was interviewing somebody, you know, she had a noon talk show.
Yeah.
A half hour talk show.
See.
Right, with flowers. Wow. Like the whole bit was because there were flowers, because Phillips Flowers, which is a related company, and they would, you know, have this whole thing. And then his dad was the writer and creator of the Young and the Restless. And they turned their dining room into a writing room, and they had the writers, and they would sit around and write these crazy, obnoxious, over the top highly sexualized, but still for
daytime,
daytime television kind of scripts. While we were playing like floor hockey in the in the room with these writers as they're smoking and drinking and doing this.
Did you ever try to contribute to the storylines or get
involved? I think I might have.
You did.
Yeah.
You know, Ro, there's sure a my book did. In that. You ought to write a book about that. That's not an experience everybody has.
No. It was a pretty wild experience.
That really
but it got
is.
Me, it was totally, and I remember coming home and I would always talk about how, because they had a hallway full of Emmys. And it was like, I had this sense, it sort of drew me very much into wanting to be
a
part of this, because it seemed like if you could just smoke and drink your way all the way through the day, you know.
That looks great. What a great job.
Right, and then they would go out and have, like, Run of Japan every night for dinner.
Oh, Run of Japan. That was great.
Love Run of Japan.
Every night. Oh, I'm like, how can they do that?
A special occasion in our household.
Yeah.
Once
right.
every year, maybe.
We, you know, and we did, instead of, we were all scattered across the country, so we'd get together for a special dinner around Christmas time, the holidays, and Run of Japan, and then we'd see a play, you know. We'd see Promises, or what, 1776 or whatever was playing, and it was really cool. But we went to Run of Japan 1 year, and that was wild, the way they
the teppanyaki chefs
so
cook
special.
In front of
Japanese
you.
Thing.
Oh,
pretty great.
Wowzy.
Yeah. So that's what drove me into it. I never picked up the smoking part, but I got all the rest of it down.
But you got Run of Japan.
Yeah, I got the Run of Japan. I always smell like a teppanyaki. Teppanyaki and scotch. These are the two things that...
I knew there was a smell in here today.
That's what it is. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Ro, good to talk to you.
Tom Skilling brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems. Permaseal. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, a body's been found on the Kennedy Expressway. We'll have more on this developing story coming up.
Violetta? Ro Khan, show with Anna DeBlanzas, right here at 720 WGN. All right. Bears are practicing right now.
No Rokon Smith still?
He has not shown up. Now my own friends are calling me going, hey, when are you going to show up for the team? And then they hang up.
Oh.
It's like, I'm getting crank called by my own people. I'm like, it's really working. This Rokon thing's really working well for me. The guy's got to show up for it to really work.
Maybe if we, since he's not working right now or working too hard, we could get him to call into the show. Kind of get that Rokon on Rokon thing going again.
This is that moment where, and I know the Bears are kind of counting on this. This is the moment where Rokon is calling his agents and managers that he's just recently hired, has no relationship with except for the last 3 weeks, and are keeping him from working. And he's the last holdout in the entire National Football League.
Who would have thought?
Right. The starting quarterback for the Jets, or the projected new starter for the, you know, the number one draft pick for the Jets.
Sam Darnold,
yesterday. Right, has shown up. He was the other holdout, but he's a quarterback, and he's going to be, you know, he's probably not projected to start for a while. It's still what's Cade McNown or whatever. What's the guy's name? The guy that was with us,
Josh McCown.
Josh McCown.
Teddy
yeah.
Bridgewater as
yeah.
well.
So, but that's the guy. That's their, you know, their star of the future. So he's probably going to be on the bench anyway. Rokon is expected to be part of this deal from the very, very start, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be a game one starter. At least that's what we were projecting. He and Danny Trevathan would be the two middle linebackers in this 3-4 defense.
So he's right now, he's at home panicking.
Is he?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I think isn't he trying to tighten up the language for himself and his guaranteed money?
His agents are.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not, I feel bad for him. Anybody ripping him, calling him selfish or greedy is just completely out of line. This is between the agency and the Chicago Bears, and neither organization wants to budge on the language with this contract, and much of it has to do with this new helmet rule, which is being implemented this year in the NFL, which basically says you can't lead with your helmet, period. I don't know how they're going to enforce this rule, because you're essentially reinventing the game of football with this rule if it's actually enforced to the T, which I don't think it's going to.
It's going to be like third graders, where they run up to each other and then they hug and they fall
hug and they all fall backwards under their back. They like run into each other and just fall right back.
So basically, if he was caught with any kind of violation of that helmet rule, that his guaranteed money would not be guaranteed anymore?
That's
would
not
go
necessarily
away?
True, but I think the agency is making making sure that's hammered down and there's no risk of the Bears potentially trying to take some of that guaranteed money away.
To use that, to use this new, almost impossible to obey rule.
Right.
And yeah. And what the Bears are also trying to do is keep everybody else from asking for this.
Exactly. They don't want to set the precedent. They don't want, the McCaskies don't want to get that evil eye look from the rest of the owners at the team meetings and owners meetings. So
right.
if they budge on this, the rest of the league is going to cringe a little bit because it's a win for the players and not for teams.
Which may be why his agency, which seems to be a more aggressive agent group, seems to be wanting to push for this, right? Maybe to show other players that they can get this.
Yeah, I see both sides. I mean, credit CAA, it's one of the largest agency groups for these guys, and they had a holdout in Joey Bosa just a year or two ago for almost all of training camp.
And they've just recently started. They bought up a sports agency, and they just recently started their own sports division of CAA, which has been around forever and ever and ever.
Yeah,
Creative Artists Agency, which was a big Hollywood kind of thing. Baby Darling, Sweetheart, listen,
Bubby.
Rokon.
Bubby.
Rokon, listen. This is actually...
Which Rokon
let's
is
get
this?
Your agent involved
That's
in
what
this.
You might get. Which Rokon is this? Is this the one we're playing for the Bears with the big contract guaranteed money, or the other one?
It's funny, because my agent did call me. He goes, all right, now listen, honey. Bubby, listen, you're not going to be able to lead with your head anymore. Do not try to tackle the program director with your head. Otherwise, they will fire you. Do I have this wrong? Hey, I
wait a minute. Which one?
Sheila, give me the file on Rokon. I think I got the wrong one.
You don't want your guaranteed money to go away.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But not good, though, especially for the middle linebacker position. I know I just mentioned Joey Bosa, and he still had a great year. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year, but when you're a middle linebacker, you have a lot more responsibilities than an edge rusher type guy. So
yeah.
But this is all going to get done, right? I mean, as Bears fans, should we be nervous at this point?
Yes.
Or
yeah, I think you should. Yeah, I think you should. I mean, he's already missed significant time as a middle linebacker. Yeah, I think you should. The first game's in 2 days. He's not going to obviously be playing in that.
No.
And as a rookie, I mean,
you want him to get some rest. Time, but you also want him not to be out there too much.
Right.
It's kind of it's a very fine line now between guys that you want. You know, it's like the preseason sucks on such an amazing level now that even before you'd like watch guys, at least in game three, you'd get to see three quarters of what the team's really going to look like. Mm-hmm. They don't even do that anymore because they're trying to protect everybody.
And there's such poor play. It's like a bunch of kids like falling around and fumbling over each other. You're always worried somebody's ankle's going to get rolled on.
And there's always one guy who's trying to, this is where the danger in week two and week three are.
Out to the
there's
boss.
One guy
taking everybody out.
Right, week four.
It's like, stop.
Right, before the final cutdown, there's one guy who's tackling his own guys, just proving that he can run a guy down. You know, there's. I mean, it's like it's
I'm
crazy.
Still shocked that they still have four games, five for the Bears this year, considering how much they know about hits and things like that. But
you know what they could do?
Dollars and cents.
What they could do is they could go down to two. Well, they tried this. With the union, they try to do this and then up the number of regular season games to 18, and the union didn't want to do it that way.
Right.
But the reality is that it's not good for the fans. It's one of the things not good for the fans here.
Or make it 18 weeks and give them maybe just add one game, but also add a extra bye week for teams. I know that idea has been thrown out there. Make it 19 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah,
17 with a bye. So
right.
things like that have been thrown out there, but. It comes down to the cheddar, to the dough.
That's exactly right.
Nobody wants to give away an extra preseason game.
But let me just say that Rokon Smith isn't the only Bear that's making people wonder what's really going on in the world.
No, that's true.
No.
We're very concerned about another Bear. What's going on there?
Jay Cutler.
Cuddy.
Yeah, Bear. I would call him a Bear great, but I can't actually do that.
No.
That's why his legacy is so weird to kind of like dial down because he is statistically one of the greatest Bears quarterbacks, but you also don't want to.
Only second to Sid Luckman.
It's hard to say Bear great Jay Cutler,
no,
but he also
can't say that.
Did statistically have a great run with the Bears.
Actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if you look him up, he's number one in a ton of categories.
Yeah, just about everything.
Yeah, so he might even be better than
for
Sid
the Bears, you mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that just because there's longevity there and he lasted longer than 18 other quarterbacks for the 20 years prior?
Right.
Yes, and they pass more in the NFL now.
Yeah.
Sid Luckman used to pass it like by pushing it out, you know, like you see that like in
like
the Three Stooges movie?
Pass.
Right, exactly where they put it. Smitty, turn around. Here it comes.
Go deep on a 4-yard route. Out.
Yeah.
Hit him to the left. Hit him to the right. Let's go. Anyway, the point is that Jay Cutler is now, as it turns out, the biggest star in reality television.
You guys turned me on to the show. Now I watch it all the time.
It's a very Cuddy Cavallari. What is this called?
Very Cavallari.
Close
very
enough. I like that Cuddy.
It's a very Cuddy Cavallari.
That's actually better.
He's stealing the show. They
it's a very Cavallari Christmas.
They still identify him in the CG graphic below him as Kristen's husband.
Yeah,
what is that? It's like, I don't know.
They don't even put like former football player.
Right. He's become the biggest star. Here he is from Sunday Night.
What do you think about this one?
I don't care about a tractor. Why are you getting a tractor?
Well, we need a tractor.
Why?
We're moving.
They accepted the offer?
They did.
All right, chickens and goats?
Yep, gotta figure out where to get some chickens.
I mean, do you know how to take care of chickens? Like, I don't know the first thing about taking care of chickens, so.
Yeah, feed them, water them, give them some water. It can't be that hard.
I don't know, I think it might be a little bit
It's gotta be easier than raising kids.
That's true.
Water them.
Now, they're moving in Nashville to a farm outside of Nashville.
They just sold the place that was revealed in this particular episode of Very Cavallari.
Yeah, Kristen's going to have to commute about 45 minutes to downtown Nashville for her business.
Oh, that means it's like 200 miles from Nashville.
It's far. No, really? You can get everywhere there in 15.
Right. That's like, oh my God, why are they doing that?
Mm-hmm. Because Jay was bored and he didn't have what to do, so he went to go buy a house.
Cuddy's gone country.
He really has. He's got this hipster country thing going on with like the sheepskin vest he's wearing and the cowboy hat and everything.
Big on vests.
Still has a very disinterested look on his face.
Yeah, and he still always looks very tired. I'm like, man, you have a 2:30 appointment to pick up your kids from school. That's it.
That's all he's got to worry about.
So here is Kristen Cavallari interviewing potential employees. Is that right? For her business? Because she's got very important business.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in. Well,
thanks for seeing me.
That's really nice to meet you.
Hi,
what are you doing?
I'm just wasting time to appear at the voice. Do you want me to sit down the next interview? Or?
Not really. What time is it?
1:20.
I mean, you have like a solid 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Are there more girls out there?
There's two.
Two? Okay.
Can you send one in?
Sure.
No, I'm not going to do that, actually.
Did you get a haircut?
What?
Did you get a haircut?
Last week.
Looks nice.
Well, you have a hat on.
I can still notice.
She's very astute.
Yeah. Wow. The sides are really faded.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I need a little bit of help there. The person complimenting him on the haircut was not his wife, right?
That was one of the employees.
One of the employees.
He used astute in a sentence there. Did you hear that? That was pretty good.
Not the employees are all crazy, so she definitely needs new staff.
So are the employees, is that a little kind of like, are they trying to set up a little triangulation kind of thing?
Yeah, it sounds like a little flirty
flirt.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Well, when it first started, she was working, her office was in their house, and Jay was like, why are all these girls coming over? And she's like, well, Jay, you're like the only guy that doesn't want hot young girls coming into his house. Anyway, that was a conversation.
You know, we're getting a farm, and maybe we, you know, let's, you know, how we get, maybe get a bull for the farm. Maybe I could be the bull for the farm. What? Oh, God.
He pretty much despises her employees.
I could tell. I think he pretty much despises fill in the blank.
Right.
It's true. Whatever it is at any given moment.
No interest in anything.
Right. It just is what it is. He never really kind of got into anything.
Although, but he's going to love chickens. Life, yeah. He just does whatever he wants. Counts his money, buys tractors, buys a new farm.
The show isn't as bad when you
watch
it.
It's horrible.
No, it's not that bad when you watch it.
The color parts are entertaining, but I found it so difficult to watch these shows because you have to sit through all the, you know, the crappy reality stuff. And then a color scene comes and you kind of perk up a little bit because it's hilarious. But then you got to sit through all like,
okay,
this drama.
Okay, but the redhead is finally going to be nice to the project manager.
Oh,
and they're
thank God.
Be because her boyfriend was being difficult and left a party and then she relied on
okay,
her.
Okay, we only care about Jay Cutler. Oh.
So, okay, are you ready for my day?
No.
I don't even know where to begin. Well, okay. So, Taylor, in her interview.
So, she wanted to discuss her day? And he's like, I don't want to hear about it.
He's like, no. I don't care.
I think they're missing an opportunity. He needs more screen time in that.
Well,
it's all about her, and he's the husband.
I agree.
And then, like, he sort of shows up and walks through and says something, and then. It's the most entertaining. Those are the most entertaining moments.
We need more
moments.
Cuddy.
Well, it's hard because they don't have the kids on the show, and I think he is with the kids most of the time.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
like this whole,
that's what he's doing.
That's what I'm assuming.
Like, right. I don't understand what is happening.
Did she really say that?
Yes.
You just fire somebody and get everyone's attention.
This is probably why you don't own your own business.
Just cut somebody's head off.
I think they're both embarrassed that they thought, oh, sure, Taylor can totally get a job here. And I was like, no.
Hell, I can't even get a job there. And I own half of it.
But,
I do.
Yeah. I might want to work on that prenup.
So Cuddy revealing that he actually has some cheddar in this company.
Yeah.
Of course he does. He's not going to let her do it by herself.
Why not? He seems so...
Well, how did she start the company?
With their money.
Right. Their money.
But she's, doesn't she have a whole money. Clothing line and
no,
jewelry
this
line?
This is her clothing
this is
jewelry
it.
Line.
She got a shoe line, too.
Shoe line
some
or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's...
And now she wants to work on the prenup to cut him out after he already seeded it. I'll see more than that.
You've seen this before, haven't you, Rob?
Yeah.
Take you out of the farm.
Ouch. I'm not
All right, time for Kim now. Kim's got the WGN News coming up at the top of the hour. What's going on?
Ro, we have some breaking news. An Aeromexico plane has what's being referred to as an accident at the airport in the northern Mexico town of Durango. We'll have more coming up.
All right, Violetta. Right now, I got a little Madonna on the box.
Feel a little more.
Yeah, I know.
What's the temperature at O'Hare?
Right now, it's 80 degrees at O'Hare International Airport, WGN.
Well done.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes, I know. That's exactly what happened there. It was not the radio edit. I just learned that the hard way.
You're saying they cut those calls?
They cut the intros to a lot of the songs for the radio edit. And I could tell Cheesy DJ was not happy about that. He stormed out of here crying. But he got it done.
He did. Nailed it.
He hit
the post once again.
As much as he possibly can in a situation like this. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantes.
Yes.
Right here on 720 WGN. Coming up on the program, we're gonna reveal, well, debut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. There's a better way to put this. A new game show.
It's going to be fun.
I think it's a specialty game show because we can only do it one time a year. Every year we try to do a Lala-inspired mm-hmm. game show.
What was it, Lala or infection or
it
medical
was,
condition?
It was, is it a Lala band or a communicable disease?
Mm-hmm.
That was what we
very
did
difficult.
Last year. And that worked out very, very well. This year we looked at the Lala bands and then we decided to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a Lala band or a Sacha Baron Cohen character?
Oh, geez.
So we are going to play that. We're going to play that a little bit later on.
And he's sneaky, so.
Yeah. Oh, I just looked at it. You know, the writers just handed it to me.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have an incredible staff of writers here on this program.
They write News or Ruse headlines and fool us all weekly.
Yep. And the, I would not know. I'm a huge fan of the Sacha Baron Cohen, and I would not know.
That's interesting. Okay.
So, very interesting.
Who's playing in this game?
Callers.
Okay.
You can help the callers, though.
I was just wondering. I didn't know if that was established yet.
Actually, it's a good question because the rules of these games are often so loose.
Fluid.
By the time we get to
very
it,
very fluid.
Yeah, we're like, well, this isn't working. Let's try it a different way.
Wait, what was that Blackhawks game we were really good at?
Oh, that That's, one.
Don't bring that up.
Don't bring that one up.
The prizes are a Never Measure, easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need for a measuring tape or calculate fractions.
And who wants to do fractions?
Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com or a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC.
Nice.
So those are your prizes. That's all coming your way.
6 o'clock.
I could use one of those bad boys.
So can DJ Man. He needs the temperature at O'Hare.
Yeah, doesn't really get that right. He nails the post, gets the temperature wrong.
Yeah. He's on break right now. He's in the DJ lounge, as it's known.
Is he in his
most radio stations?
Suitcase?
Black coffee with Jack Daniels?
He's sleeping on the couch, and he's getting all his hair dye all over the arm rest of the...
As his cigarette ash burns the couch?
Yeah.
Fell asleep in his mouth.
and well, he's smoking the cigarette, but he falls asleep while he's smoking. He still can smoke and sleep at the same time. It's like, I don't know how he does it.
At least then he doesn't snore as
right.
much.
He does often wake up with a shirt on fire, though. That's a separate issue. All right. Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do this
we
part.
Are. Yeah. It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Vice President Mike Pence. You don't hear from him so much.
No, he's been taking a back seat lately.
But he is the latest senior administration official to accuse Russia of meddling in the 2016 election. President Trump has sent mixed messages, as we will note here.
Mm-hmm.
So he accepts the intelligence community's findings, but then he thinks it might be another guy in his basement. He's not quite sure what it is, not sure what to do. Well, now, speaking at the Department of Homeland Security-sponsored event today in New York, the vice president didn't mince words.
While other nations certainly possess the capability, the fact is Russia meddled in our 2016 elections. Russia's goal was to sow discord and division and to weaken the American people's faith in our democracy. And while no actual votes were changed, any attempt to interfere in our elections is an affront to our democracy, and it will not be allowed.
Do you have the sense that Mike Pence has ever had fun?
Very serious guy.
Let's go. Does he ever not wear a suit? Is he that guy? He's always in a blue suit and a red tie, no matter what, under all circumstances.
That earnest look on his face, too.
He does have that look like somebody has just done something very awful to foul the air, and he doesn't want to let on that he knows that that just happened.
It's a great explanation.
You know, he's got that look on his face.
He
doesn't smell it. His eyes are tearing, and yet he's going to just, you know, because he doesn't want to embarrass anybody. He wants to stand by.
It's a great way of describing it. But he's coming out strong on Russia now, as many of the senior administration officials are doing.
I still don't know. It could have been a 400-pound guy in his basement. I love you, Vlad. I love you.
Well, you saw Kristen Nielsen do the same thing, very strongly rebuking Russia over interference.
Yeah. She's got other problems on her plate right now. She's got to find 599 parents to children that she's got still in her custody.
It's a matching thing she has to get taken care of.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
LeBron James continued to promote his... This is very cool what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He built a school in Akron for at-risk youth.
Yeah.
And it's in a neighborhood near where he grew up. He not only is he providing... He built the whole school. He's got this fundraising plan for the school where he sells off shoes that he wore in games. You know, so it's like, you know, per game, there's a lot of that. You know, these guys always change between games. So there's, you know, tons and tons and tons of these things. And he's got this, it's a beautiful facility. The tuition, it's part of the Akron Public School System. He built it for the Akron Public Schools.
On-site food bank.
Right, an on-site, three meals a day for the kids, an on-site food bank for the families if they need it, a food pantry.
A bike for every student.
Yeah, they get a free bike,
so
transportation.
So they have to walk through neighborhoods that,
free.
You know.
And he talks about how important the bike was for him to get to and from practice and the kinds of things he wanted to do as a kid to stay away from the bad influences in the neighborhood. And he needed a bike to be able to move faster, and that's what he's doing here.
How about that? He's also going to allow the students' parents to complete their high school education, allow a program to help them with that and fund that. And they get free tuition at University of Akron if they complete their high school.
Right. So, and he's doing all of this. So you got to... He sat down with ESPN, he sat down with CNN, he sat down with a couple of, obviously, some other network types to talk about this, because the first day of school was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up the schools. Really, it was a great story.
Yeah, it is. I mean, talk about action speaking louder than words. He's really allowing a lot of people, giving some opportunities to people who otherwise might not have that kind of a chance. And it's huge the way he's thought through this whole thing. Like you said, a food pantry, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, transportation. I mean, it's uniforms, everything free.
Right. So on the CNN interview, the ESPN interview, they didn't ask about Donald Trump. But on the CNN interview, Don Lemon did.
You know, we are in a position right now in America, more importantly, where this race thing is taking over. One, because I believe our president is kind of trying to divide us. He's dividing us. And what I noticed over the last few months, that he's kind of used sport to kind of divide us. And that's something that I can't relate to, because I know that sport was the first time I ever was around someone white, you know, and I got an opportunity to see them and learn about them, and they got an opportunity to learn about me, and we became very good friends. And I was like, oh, wow, this is all because of sports. And sports has never been something that divide people. It's always been something that brings someone together.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very true.
Exactly right. And he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's doing, you know, a very active thing.
Mm-hmm.
He also looks great, by the way. I don't know. It's like as soon as he signed with the Lakers, he had some work done or something. It was like, I don't know.
You go to LA, you kind of got to do that.
Right.
You know?
He's got this like a super cool beard that is trimmed, and it almost, yeah, he looks almost like he was drawn as opposed to like he was like really there.
He's had a makeover.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting with him this year at the Lakers with that idiot LeVar Ball.
Oh, gee.
You know, with the ball, his little balls that are on the team. Does he have two balls or one ball on that
He's
team?
He's got one that's on one the team, on and the then team. One of the younger ones, I believe, is going to be at least like invited to camp or whatever, maybe a part of their G League. So
yeah, I don't
just
get
like the
that.
Minors.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. If I were LeBron, it would be the one thing I would demand.
Well, there was reports he had already told. There was some word that he wanted to make sure LeVar was keeping quiet a little bit.
Because Magic Johnson's running the team, right?
Pretty much,
he's
yes.
the general manager of the mm-hmm. team. So does he call Magic?
Yeah, he's like the president. It's like Gar Pax, you know. He's team exec.
So he's got to call Magic and go, listen, you keep that guy away from me.
Yes.
if so much as I hear him utter my name in a press conference, there's got to be, we'll cut it. We will trade his child to Toronto. Or worse yet, the Bulls, maybe. I don't know. I have my own thoughts about the Bulls. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
I like the Bears. I all of a sudden have got a little bit of a sense of optimism about the Bulls for this year.
Hope that's right.
It's a tiny sense, but it is a sense of optimism. All right. We'll check your 3, 2, and 1. But first, let us now check in with Kim, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Row, more information on the crash of an Aeromexico plane at an airport in Durango, Mexico.
Violetta?
The Sox get in the ring with Kansas City, and this fight's guaranteed to go 9 Tuesday night. Baseball, White Sox, Royals, tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right.
And we're here, too.
And WGN Radio.
That's right.
Pre-game with Andy, starting at 6:30.
Yep.
Let's see how good Andy was yesterday doing the sports while Kevin was out taking my place at a golf outing.
He was excellent, and it was good for Kevin to go ahead and take one for the team and golf all day in the
That's
nice
right.
weather.
I had to miss a whole on-air shift to go play 18 with the boss of the whole company.
Great food.
Sorry,
and
guys.
Sponsored
took a
by
hold for the team.
Yeah.
Who's the sponsor again of the whole thing?
Modelo.
Modelo.
For White Sox Charities.
So you had to have one or two of those because, you know, appreciate
to support
the sponsors.
Them. Yeah. It's a tough day out there.
Yep. Yeah.
I was sweating a little bit. It was 85 and sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Had to power through.
Yeah. And
thanks for doing that, Kevin,
yeah,
for us.
Of course.
That
even
was
though,
really cool of you.
I was supposed to go there. I was not informed I was supposed to be there. And then Kevin said he was me to actually replace me
to
in the
there.
Cart with our boss.
Seems That's a little shady.
What happened.
I said, I'm Ro Khan. They said, I love you on Windy City Live. I said, thanks for watching. Appreciate it.
So weird.
You had a golf cart with your name on it, right? That was
I got a picture.
Your name.
I got the picture.
And the boss sent it to you and said, where are you?
Yeah.
And instead you saw Kevin was smiling and waving in the picture, like, here I am, filling in.
What the? That was my response yesterday. Boy, I ought to.
I think it's very cool of Kevin to do that for us.
Yeah,
represent
great.
The team.
Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
During his monologue last night, Stephen Colbert joked about the fact that the president's allies are now insisting that, sure, there might be collusion, but that is not against the law.
Collusion is not a crime.
And collusion is not a crime. But the truth of the matter is collusion is not a crime.
Wow, they are really moving the goalposts on this. First it was Russia didn't interfere in the election. Then it was, okay, they did. But nobody on the Trump team met with them. Then it was, okay, they did. But it was just about adoptions. Then it was, okay, they offered us dirt on Hillary, but there was no collusion. Now we're, no collusion. Collusion is not a crime. What's next? Okay, collusion's a crime, but it's just a little crime. Then it'll be, since when are crimes illegal? If crimes are illegal, take me away. Okay.
Oh, that's kind of true. All right, checking in.
Number two.
Fake social media pages and accounts were removed from Facebook today. Also Instagram, because Facebook owns Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They own your Insta story, if you're interested.
You want to see me on the golf course? Check mine out.
Yeah, we missed that. I'll have to go back and look.
The social media company says that fraudsters were engaged in organizing events that real groups went to. In a conference call with reporters, Nate Gleischer, head of the cybersecurity policy at Facebook, says that at least one fake page had connections to the Russian Internet Agency.
We do not have enough technical evidence to state definitively who is behind this. But we can say that these accounts engaged in some similar activity and have connected with known IRA accounts. More than 290,000 accounts followed at least one of these pages, the earliest of which was created in March 2017. The latest was created in May 2018.
That sounds like a real press conference, doesn't it, right there? It's just a guy reading a statement. Thank you, goodbye. And I'm reading it on the phone, and now I'm going to leave, and I hope that our stock doesn't keep dropping.
Yeah, that's a real problem for them because that is happening. And these were situations where people went to great lengths, or groups went to great lengths, to hide their tracks and cover who they actually were who was operating these pages. They still don't know. Facebook said it could be the Russians. Very well might be. We don't know. Still looking into who was behind it, but they certainly were successful at running very divisive Facebook pages.
And finally,
number one.
NFL rookie Jordan Mailata looks like the Incredible Hulk, but he sings like Jack Johnson, not the boxer, because the seventh round draft pick just slayed it at Eagles camp. Are the Eagles the one that they're following now for the reality show?
I don't believe it's Philly. There's so many stipulations. I'll look it up.
Anyway, they got this guy. Jordan is one of the baddest dudes on the planet. He's 6'8", 346 pounds. He was a rugby player. And then Philadelphia media members caught this offensive lineman in a weak moment with his guitar. And the world is now a better place for it.
There's this girl. She holds my heart like a stack of cards. She's got class, she's got style, yeah. She can make a man fall in now. There's nothing to see, no way to go. She's standing next to me, yeah, yeah. And that's it all.
How about that?
He's so good. It's almost not fair to be so good in two things. Look at that. He can sing as well.
Hard Knocks, by the way, Cleveland Browns this year.
Oh,
that's the show you're referring to, Ron, HBO.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, so it's Cleveland. So this is he's on the,
that was like Philly's in-house TV network thing he was doing it for.
Okay.
That was impressive.
That is impressive.
Really impressive.
Yeah. That's pretty great. All right. Well, see, that's a happy thing we can all agree on, right? Can we agree?
Sure.
I'm looking for consensus here, my friends.
Talented.
The top five at five.
Coming out of the 6 o'clock hour, fastest growing game show in radio history.
I thought we haven't debuted it yet.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's expected to be the fastest growing game show in radio history. Is it a Lollapalooza band or a Sacha Baron Cohen character?
and supposedly surprisingly difficult. I haven't seen any of them yet, but you say tough to tell them apart.
Very tough to tell apart. And the winners get a never measure, easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast, and eliminate the need to use measuring tape or calculate fractions. Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. Or desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers, Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. How about that?
Nice.
All right.
That'll be fun.
I kind of like what we're dealing with here. As we got a lot going on here.
Sasha's a little crazy, so you never know his characters.
This last weekend's one, the Sunday one, wasn't as good as the second one.
Hmm.
But it was interesting.
Who did he get this
Roy
time?
Roy Moore. We played that yesterday.
Right. With the pedophile detector he had. But
Roy Moore was able to figure out that that there is no such thing as a pedophile detector. He claimed it was designed by the Israeli government.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Moore said, well, the Israelis have inferior technology. I support Israel, though. But I'm just going to leave this right here, right now. I'm not a pedophile.
Not believing
well,
in that.
Well, either he didn't believe it or he wanted to get away from the beeping machine.
Yes, because it kept beeping every time it went near his crotch.
Well, and Sacha Baron Cohen told him it was 99.8% effective. You know, it's not saying you're a pedophile.
Yes, exactly.
It's just beeping.
Yeah. That is what...
not as good, you say, but there's more to come, it sounds like. So, yes. Sarah Palin hasn't been featured yet.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. There's 4 episodes left of this show, and then it has to go away, like all of these things have to go away, because because now the characters have been out, and the backstories, you can't...
not going to fool anybody.
He's got to do something totally new.
But this then he develops 2 years a new character.
In the making.
He develops a new character, and he seems to do it all over again.
Right.
And really get people to sit down for these
Turns
interviews.
Turns out people don't stop being stupid.
I just don't understand. I don't ask many questions about how he does what he does, because mm-hmm. I just like what's doing. It's like sausage. I just love it. I don't know how they make it.
Just enjoy it, right.
But this was a 2-year endeavor to create mm-hmm. these backstories for these characters that he created. And I don't understand how people don't realize, because he looks, mm-hmm. it looks like he's wearing wigs and makeup and all that on camera. How are the people who are now sitting down with these characters realizing that they're being clowned?
Look at the environment. He created an entire gym for that one with the congressman who pulled his pants down and did the fight off the terrorists. Mm-hmm. And so amazing. He created that gym. It looked, I mean, the whole setting was, it just seemed
and he
real.
Does social media PR and
it's just,
links everything in with the
he thinks
ads
of everything.
On the internet.
Very bright guy, too. I mean, he must be very convincing. He's gotten a lot of very smart people to sit down with him. I mean, think about it. Dick Cheney. I mean, you go through the list. I remember when I was covering the Olympics at NBC, he got senior executives of NBC to sit down with him, and he did these gotcha tactics and got him. And then there was a memo circulated, do not sit down with him, because all of us have been taken already. And there's this long list of NBC employees. So, I mean, he does it. He's very, he just figures out a way.
It's highly entertaining.
It is.
Highly entertaining.
It is.
All right. Well, it's, but I mean, I find it as such because I think it's skewering people based on their vanity.
Yeah. They're bringing out some things that might already be inside of them
right.
that he sort of teases out of them.
Yes. He's taking advantage of people, not on their gullibility, but on their vanity or their conceit or their just raw anger mm-hmm. about something. They get, you know, that he's targeting people, like he targeted these 3 guys in was it in Arizona that he claimed these are people that were all like trying to go out and hunt mm-hmm. Mexicans, yeah, illegal Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
and so he figured out a way to get them to he said he had a foolproof way. His character explained they had a foolproof way to lure Mexicans, and that was to fake a quinceañera, and that all of these Mexican pedophiles would show up for it. So,
okay. Remember those 2 frat boys he got on the bus in Borat, and they said all kinds of racist things acted outrageously, and I think their parents sued or something, and they sided with Borat or Sacha Baron Cohen that he, you know, they're just kind of doing their own thing. He didn't force them to do those things or say those things.
That is, yes, totally correct.
They were kind of ruined over it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike Monaco is going to join us here in just a moment, but first, let's check in with Kim Gordon and find out what's coming up at the top of the hour on the WGN News.
Ro, you won't be seeing the blueprints for those 3D guns tomorrow. They're on hold for now.
Oh, that's going to ruin my whole night. I was just going to make 3D guns all night.
I knew you had the printer warming up.
All right, here is Violetta.
The incredibly handsome, always witty, and disarmingly engaging Ro Khan.
Oh!
Joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 9:40 for Can't Miss Radio.
Yeah.
You like that tease?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Did you write that one?
Yeah, I did, yes. I wrote that. It didn't recognize my handwriting. I actually scratched out.
I saw some edits, so I thought it's kind of weird.
What they'd already written, and I just put that in. All right. Mike Monaco, our legal analyst, esteemed attorney, internationally regarded attorney, based here in Chicago, is joining us to talk about the Paul Manafort case. Now, you were a former federal prosecutor.
Yeah, big day today.
Yeah. And this was the opening statements. The government laid out the fact that they said he was a shrewd liar, concocting all these plans to avoid detection, that he was working for Ukrainian government, and he was hiding the money he was making. His firm may have made up to $300 million. Now, I don't know where is that money. But the problem is he was living a very lavish lifestyle while claiming he was making $60,000 a year as a plumber.
$15,000 ostrich jacket.
I heard that. $21,000 watch, homes all over the world.
The watch is one thing. I think Ro needs that ostrich jacket.
Well, as we found out earlier, the ostrich was actually alive. That's why it's so expensive, is that they get the ostrich to put up with this.
The point of it is the prosecutor just tried to show the jury that how different Manafort's life is from their lives, you know, that he's not like you and me. He's different. He had all of this money, millions and millions of dollars, and he spent it all on himself.
Yeah, right. But what the issue there is he didn't register as a foreign agent and he didn't pay taxes.
And then he once the money ran out because the fellow from the Ukraine lost and fled to Russia, mm-hmm. he then began to get money from banks. And he got money from banks by misstating his income and by overstating the value of certain properties that he had.
Oops.
One was a banker from Chicago, a fellow Calk.
Oops.
Yeah, gave him $16 million in loans.
Now, what is interesting here is that there's this guy, Rick Gates, who was his business partner. And Rick Gates is cooperating now. And Rick Gates was also part of the Trump campaign. So the question is, what is Rick Gates going to cooperate on? How much cooperation is there from a Rick Gates, and what does this all mean?
Well, can I tell you, sometimes in a case like this that's mostly a document case, because they're mostly documents showing how much money he made and which banks, he had 30 different accounts in 3 different countries. So he had a lot, he was doing a lot of banking. So often as a defense lawyer, in cases like this, you want somebody to cooperate so you can call him a liar. So you can say, see, he's lying, and if you don't believe him beyond a reasonable doubt, you cannot find the defendant guilty. So in their opening statement today, the defense said that Gates is a liar, and that not only is he a liar, he stole money from Manafort.
Oh, he embezzled stealing from the stealer.
He embezzled
is that
money.
A crime?
Yeah, they claim he embezzled millions from Manafort. And so, they also talked about how complicated the whole financial arrangements were, indicating that maybe.
And they also blame the oligarchs for setting these financial arrangements up.
They did.
Their fault.
They said the oligarchs created the sham companies that they used to hide the money
because they prefer to pay that way. Is what they said.
It's not his fault that the oligarchs paid him through sham companies.
Sham companies. Yeah. Where have I heard that before? Sham. That's right. Wasn't Michael Cohen setting up sham companies? Right.
He did. He certainly did. In order to pay off women who had relationships with the president.
Let me ask you about the implications of this, Mike Monaco, because it's really a tax and bank fraud, and the Trump administration's made very clear it's nothing to do with Trump, it's nothing to do with the campaign, this is tax and bank fraud. But should he decide to enter a plea agreement, would cooperating with the Mueller probe be potentially part of that? Could they mix those two?
Well, if he wanted to gain any advantage, it would have to be. I mean, the only advantage he'd have is if he were going to say something about the president, I assume. Unless he knows something about someone else. I don't think testifying against oligarchs is going to be very helpful.
Right.
So I think they will have to say something. In order to have a cooperation agreement that would give him some benefit, it would have to be involving the Trump
presidency. And if you were to do that, I mean, this is all very speculative, but if you were to do that, then you'd have the Rudy Giuliani, who's doing an excellent job, yeah. I think, right now, helping yeah. the president. He would be out there talking about how, you know, Manafort was always a bad guy. He's a liar. Look at him. They basically used the government's opening statement here right. against him.
Right. Which is what they said with Cohen. I mean, for a long time, Cohen was just a very good lawyer.
Great guy
who worked hard for the president.
He hires only the finest people.
Now he can't be believed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, for the irony is the president so often said the best people, I'm going to bring in the best people.
But we knew, I mean, the thing is, we saw all this cast of characters who, a lot of them look like they're from the Munsters with Russian accents that yeah. were around him. I mean, and everybody had some sort of a Russian something going on. They had Russian wives, Russian, you know, ex-wives,
That's true.
You know, pro-Russia Ukrainian president.
Yeah, I mean, everybody had these weird connections.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cohen's got a weird connection to it. There was that Boris Epstein guy who's now now does editorials for that TV network and all that. I mean, there's all these people who were all around the Trump campaign, and they all, some of them even had Russian accents. And you're like, why is that?
For a long time, Mr. Trump was trying to get into Russia, trying to build a hotel in Moscow.
Right.
And of course, you know, his son was there, and his son met with the Russians. We know his son met with the Russians.
Yes.
And now apparently Cohen is going to say that the president knew about that meeting before it occurred.
Let me ask you about that. So now that today all the talk is that, well, if there was collusion, you know, it's not against the law. Well, I mean, it's, you know, collusion.
The word collusion means that someone is agreeing with someone else to commit a crime. In effect, that's what it means.
There's no technical statute using the term collusion. It's not a term of art.
The word collusion is not in the federal criminal code.
Right.
But the word conspiracies is there.
Really?
And conspiracy means that two people agree to commit a crime.
Yes.
And
I think the word defraud is also in there.
And yeah, the word fraud is there. The word hacking is there. A lot of words that people have that are going to apply to people and things that were done during the election, apparently.
So that meeting is still central to, you think, to what Mueller might be interested in potentially what charges could be brought about.
Absolutely. Especially since we know the president has admitted being on the plane, Air Force One, creating a false narrative as to what happened during that meeting. Apparently he wrote it, or at least according to people who were there, he was involved in creating this false narrative.
To lie to the press. It's not against the law to lie to the press.
No, that's true. It's not against the law to lie to the press.
But what it shows you is
that if you have a reason to lie,
mm-hmm.
what's the reason? It's because you were part of it. It's because you knew what was going on. It's because you knew what had happened was illegal, which is exactly why people do lie about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this trial is going to go on for weeks, but it's going to be quite a trial.
Yeah, the Manafort trial is going to be quite a trial. Yeah. We'll see. Is there any possibility that he will actually plead guilty in the middle of the trial?
That has happened. But here, the defense has already given their opening statement. They called Gates a big liar and an embezzler and so forth. And their defense is sort of already written that they're going to accuse Gates of the crime, as Anna said, also the oligarchs who forced him to have sham companies. But so it's unlikely that he's going to plead during the middle of a trial, but it's possible. It's happened. He's in jail now, you know.
And he faces 100 years, over 100 years.
Well, the guidelines, he faces a considerable sentence, but it won't be 100 years.
It could be the rest of his life, though. He's 70 years old.
Could he get a dime?
It could. I love when you use these expressions, Ro.
Time.
Shows how...
He's paying it out at 26 in Cal.
Such a knowledgeable criminal.
Yeah. Could he get a dime?
Yes, it's possible.
I learned that from your own clients, Mike. That's how I know that term.
In the waiting room,
Well, it is possible. He could be facing that. The guidelines are based upon mostly the amount of loss. So the amount of loss here is in the millions. And so it might be, and by that I mean loss in terms of loss to the banks and loss to.
And he's 70 something years old, right? Isn't he 70
yes,
or 71?
He's 71, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's tough. 10 years in prison at 71.
It's
tough,
right? 69.
Let me say, no matter what your age, 10 years in prison is tough, yes. No matter how old you are.
Right. So yeah. So he'd be looking at that. All right.
Yeah.
So all right. I want to go back to this, the idea of the collusion thing, because they do keep moving this along. And it is amazing. It's how is it that people who are highly supportive of the president personally. I mean, they like his policies or whatever. A lot of people like his policies, but they think there's something wacky about the dude. People who do not see the wacky in the dude, how do they not see this? How do they not see the... to me, it is amazing when it was, we never had a meeting with the Russians. We played this thing from Stephen Colbert earlier. Right. And we never had a meeting with the Russians. Right. Okay, we did have a meeting with the Russians. But it was only about adoption. Yeah. It was really about Hillary's emails.
It's absolutely amazing.
And then it was like, well, you know, but there's never collusion, no collusion, no collusion. Now it's like, well, collusion. First of all, there's no crime in collusion.
Yeah. That's true. The use of that word is, you know, it's just a word that they're grabbing to show that there's no crime, but that's not true.
All right. We'll leave it there. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Team Hochberg Pearl Mortgage bringing you Kim Gordon's news. Here's a Lala group that everybody knows.
Yes.
Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm. Headliner.
I never heard of him.
How would you even describe it to cheesy radio guy?
Let's not try. Does that worry him with these little details? All right, want to play this game with us? 312-981-7200. I will name an item, and you tell us if this is a Lala performer or a Sacha Baron Cohen character. If you win, you get a Never Measure, where you can easily center, level, or hang your wall decorations fast, eliminate the need to use a measuring tape, calculate fractions. It's veteran-owned, made in the U.S. of A. And you can get it at nevermeasure.com, but you get it for free right now, 312-981-7200, if you want to play this game. Or a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. They'll let you choose which one you want.
Nice.
Right? You get to do that.
Can't go wrong.
That's kind of a good thing. See, now these are not so easy.
No, I'm just looking at the list. Really tough. And I've been a fan of Sacha Baron Cohen since the LEG days. So I would think I'd know more of these.
Now, we might want to enlist the help of the kids here. Because, you know, as Violetta's already told us, she's not going to Lala. At least she's not telling anyone she's going to Lala over the weekend.
You don't know how to check Instagram stories, correct?
Why would you not want to? It's not me that you should worry about. It's somebody else, I could tell. There's somebody else she doesn't want to let know she's going to Lala.
No.
It seems right up your alley.
No,
Violetta's going to be the one. Remember that everybody was burying like bottles of vodka in the lawn so they didn't have to buy booze in there? That's going to be Violetta tonight. Probably last week she probably got a head start.
You got to start early because the fencing went up early last week. So
right,
you would
you
know.
Really have to plan ahead.
Yeah.
I'm a traffic reporter.
That's how she knows. Yeah. That is the first and only time she's ever used that as a defense.
When I ride the shoulder too.
Yeah. There's a traffic incident. I'm reporting. Gonna report live.
I got to see what's causing this jam.
We'll do it live.
Hey, let me in the fire truck through. Come on.
Could work. You never know.
All right, here we go. All right, let's start off. Here's Mike. Mike.
Hello,
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
All right, here is your item. Is this a Lollapalooza performer? Is a Sacha Baron Cohen character Zomboy? Zomboy.
That is a Sacha character.
Oh!
That was a tough one.
That's Zomboy. Hey, Mike, hold on. We're still going to give you something.
Is the whole song like this?
Well, we'll find out.
Nuclear.
Pass the molly.
All right. Okay, we got it. All right, we got it.
Now we know what to expect from the Zomboy.
All right. Dan, are you ready? You ready to play on WGN?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Is this a Lala performer or a Sacha Baron Cohen character? Dr. Neera.
That's Sasha.
Yeah!
Wow. Well
nailed it.
Wiki Wild Wild Wiki Wiki Wild Wiki Wild Wiki Wiki Wild 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 West Wiki Wild Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West.
This is great. He put together this crazy gangster rapper from Cleveland along with like a white supremacist, and they sat down on what they thought was like a talk show with their with this like super liberal guy, and he was like and he asked the original gangster rapper Will Smith, listen to these lyrics and tell me what you think of them. And the guy and the gangster rapper's like, what? Will Smith, what?
So this is Who Is America, the recent
This is last week's episode. Yes. All right, Marianne. Here we go, Marianne. You're next. All right. Here we go. Is this a Lala act or a Sacha Baron Cohen character post Malone?
I'm going to say a Lala band.
Well done.
My mama calls, see you on TV. Sunset done change ever since we was on. I dreamed it all.
All right, there you go.
You got it. I'm vibing with that.
This guy's big on face tattoos.
Oh, he's
Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Big face tattoo guy.
You know, I'll tell you something. You know what? The face tattoo hurts you?
Mm-hmm.
In the job interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the law firm.
He doesn't have to worry about that yet.
Yeah.
You can't get a respectable job with a face tattoo,
that
kid.
That tattoo on your forehead, not going to work.
I think the neck tattoo also kind of limits your job opportunities.
The teardrop, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But the teardrop can get removed. Right? Or you can make it into a scar
any
of some sort.
You could get removed. It's just painful.
Well, I don't know. Can you really get it removed?
Sure.
Yeah? It goes all the way away?
I think you could.
You can't. Now, do you know this to be true?
Yeah. People get their tattoos removed.
Now, do you know this to be true?
Is this personal experience?
No, it's not.
I think Ro has personal experience the other way. What did you try getting removed that's not gone?
Well, it's not, and it's spreading. It's bad.
Oh, geez. Separate issue. Yeah.
That was the needle knot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's just check in with Susie here. Susie, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Lala act or Sacha Baron Cohen character? Admiral General Aladdin. Admiral General Aladdin.
Oh, that's so Sasha.
Yeah, that's correct.
Nicely done.
What was the question?
Do you have nuclear weapons?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Are you developing nuclear weapons?
No, I literally can't hear you.
I'm going to another question.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Larry King? How did he get Larry King?
How did he get Larry King? The Russians got Larry King. Larry King is the guy who ended up working for RT, which is the propaganda arm that's behind all of this.
Oh my gosh. That's so
I can
funny.
Relate to that.
I want to go watch that whole piece. Like that sounds so
funny. Oh, that's from The Dictator. The Dictator. There are scenes from The Dictator that that are just so spectacularly great. Like when he had his own like Olympics in his home country, and the 100-meter dash where they shot the gun, they were shooting the actual runners instead of
gosh.
Oh god. All right. Okay.
Good times.
Yep. Yeah, good times. All right, Ron, are you ready? Here we go. Is this a Sacha Baron Cohen character or a Lala act? James Bay.
I'm going to say Lala act.
There you go.
You got it.
There you go. From walking home
and talking low. This guy's still around?
Yeah.
Yeah. To seeing shorts and evening
clothes with you. There you go.
It's the only song you ever made.
Yeah.
No, okay. I know. That one got
doesn't
major
matter. It's
radio
good
play.
Enough.
All right, Kirsten, you ready? Kirsten, you're up.
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Sheba San. Lala act or Sacha Baron Cohen character?
I'm going to say Lala Blues act.
Wow. Oh, very well done. I would not have gotten these things, right?
I wouldn't have gotten that one.
This is like a DJ, like a techno guy.
Yeah.
I think I feel the molly kicking in right now.
Sounds like a radio DJ guy groaning into the microphone.
Is it hot in here or not? I don't know. Is it hot?
I can't can't buy the vodka.
Where'd you plant the vodka?
Sent
by the tree,
way,
by the porta potty.
Three steps back. Circle.
Thought you
right
said you put it
down
here.
Where's the spoon? I brought a spoon to try to dig up the vodka.
Damn, it was a spork.
All right, here we go. Ken, are you ready to play? Here you go. Is this a Lala act or a Sacha Baron Cohen character? Colonel Murad.
Oh, that's definitely a Sacha character. That's a funny one.
Alte daber shtuyot. Modern technology is at the forefront of the fight against terror. One time, I killed a suicide bomber with an iPad Pro. But luckily, I had bought AppleCare. I'm going now to meet a respected politician to showcase the latest Israeli gadget.
I'm sitting with Roy Moore.
That just sounds great. I haven't seen that yet.
All right. And Phil, you're our last contestant. Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. Cleopatrick.
I think Sasha.
Oh, so close. Oh, we're still going to give you one anyway. There you go. Hold on. Working all the time, renting out your mind and saving every dime. Because in 10 of those combined, they cross a sacred line. There you go.
Was it four steps back or from the port of
buy the vodka?
Hey, this is an ours. Do you want to keep it?
No, put it back. They're going to beat us up if they see us drinking their vodka. You have to put your name on your bottle of vodka. Down there.
That's the one thing the millennials respect. Don't take someone else's vodka from Lollapalooza.
Right, because they worked really hard to get out there to figure out exactly the place to put it.
It's all the vodka gardening that goes on. You have to bring a tool though, right? Because how would you dig it up?
Most people will bring a tool with them when they go to Lala.
That works too.
Yeah,
for that.
A lot of guys are man buns. Yeah.
Where's our tool?
Get him. He's right here. There. Wait, he went to the porta potties. Hold on, he'll be right back. It's like a whole thing.
It is.
Whole thing.
Never been. Don't think I'll ever go.
Not for me.
Not for me.
No.
I know, but I think it's for all ages because I just heard this lady at the nail salon, her husband's going with work, out of town work people. She's like, I don't want to know where they are. I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't want to know where they're sleeping. She's like, I just want him to text us to make sure that he's alive, and I'll tell the kids.
Well, remember the year Paul McCartney was part of it? You had a lot of the parents and the kids there.
See, I did that Windy City Smokeout this summer, and I normally don't like fest or large gatherings of people. This was one of the best ones I've ever been to, and I think it's because it was everyone who was like 25 to 30, so it was like the same demo. Everybody was the same age.
Yeah, it really was just a big house party.
Well, that was a big young
person. That is a fun party. Although, it's also concrete. It's really hard to bury the vodka there because right. It's in a parking lot.
Yeah, you drop it off the overpass.
Yeah. It's gonna
just catch!
Or you float it down the river, and somebody has to get in the river to actually go get it.
I wouldn't take that chance. I really wouldn't.
You got to go for the vodka.
It might seep into there somehow.
Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Roe, Deerfield-based Caterpillar feeling the effects of President Trump's tariffs.
Violetta, your traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival, and it's this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com. Get your seat at the table.
This is a Lala act. Valentino Khan, no relation.
Can you see Ro out there spinning the discs?
This is what Boris jams to.
One headphone on, one by four.
Actually, they worked Boris into the song.
Like that. Like that. Like that.
Bottle service flowing. Where's the vodka? Still can't find the vodka.
I guess I can see Rokan out there DJing, man.
You.
I mean, I forget you have your roots in being a DJ and getting paid for that.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't forget that.
No, we cannot. No.
Well,
that was really something right there.
Yeah. I might have to tell them to use it at Concrete Cowboy.
My boss laid a sick beat this week.
Seriously, I finally have something to tell him about.
We got to play this.
Let's try that one more time.
Let's hear it.
Hey!
not from here. It's from the porta potties.
No, wait, walk toward the big buildings. No, the big buildings. No, not those buildings.